Good morning again. Everybody get their chow, find their way to a seat. Donna, thank you very much. It's very good as usual, I'm sure. For a little girl, she has a big voice.
Big appetite, too.
Big appetite, too. Uh-oh. All right, is everybody all right this morning? Everybody feeling good? They got their breakfast now? Got a cup of coffee or a juice or whatever? We're going to get started here. We're honored to have a guest speaker all the way from Allen Park. We spare no expense. We paid all of his expenses to get him here. You know, what was it, 50 cents worth of gas? So he's here.
Just about that, yeah.
Yep. So who would you like to open up today? Your choice.
Ashley.
Ashley, come on up here.
You're up.
Don't sit
down.
Come on up here. It's all you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord, that you have made and that we have a great church to come to. And thank you so much for the people who have been preparing these lessons for us, Lord. You know, they've been studying hard, and they're going to be giving to you what you've given to them, Lord. And just thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for the leadership and for the young men who can look up to leadership, Lord, and just learn and grow. Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank amen.
All righty. Well, it's good to be back up here. And You need the mic. Hurry up, Bob. Run over there. You know, after the message I did last week, Roger came up to me and he was like, you know, I'm just so sorry I interrupted you so many times. And, you know, he was super apologetic. And I'm like, Roger, you know, it's good, man. Discussion is good. So this week I thought, you know, I might as well just give him a microphone of his own. You know, there you go, big guy. That way Bob doesn't have to run over to you. You could just do it. All right, so last week, Steve taught on the wicked tenants and the farmers and how they didn't give God what he asked. If you remember, he gave them certain objectives, fruit to do, and he came and asked for it, and they wouldn't give it back to him. And because of that, he judged them. It was a story of Christ's death and the Father's judgment on Israel, and it also foreshadowed Christ as a cornerstone. If you guys remember, Steve also gave us some homework. Anybody actually looked that up? You did? No one looked it up?
I looked it up.
You looked? I'll give you a hint. It's in 1 Peter 2. You got that down? You got it down? Go ahead. Oh. All right. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2, verses 7 through 10 real quick, because I believe it just ties in perfect with the message today. It says, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Today I'm going to be teaching on the sheep and the goats. And one of the cool things about sheep is they have what's called a gregarious behavior. And what that means is they desire to be in a flock. They desire to go out with one another and to follow a shepherd. And I just want to encourage you guys right from the beginning that our desire should be to reach the lost. We have an outreach coming up. We're going to be doing the Muslim outreach. And that's a great opportunity to get involved, to share with those people, and truly share who Christ is. And as God's sheep, we should all have that desire and that behavior to bring more people in and to advance the kingdom of God. All these sermons so far, all these parables are about the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, God's kingdom coming to earth. And what does that mean? What's the purpose of God's kingdom coming here? Right? It's to advance, to make it bigger, to grow. The earth will be filled of his kingdom, be filled of his people. It will always advance. All right, so Matthew 25, 31 through 46. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the people will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, for you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes, or sick in prison, and did not help me? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So real quick, anytime we look at Scripture, number one, we have to say, how does it affect me today, where we're at, and who is he talking to at that moment, right? So Jesus, we understand who he was talking to. He was with some of his disciples, some of the Pharisees. Also, it refers to some of us as well, right? It's going to affect us today. That's God's word, so that will affect us today. So verse 31, it's referring to Christ's second coming. Now, there's four views primarily on his return. I'm not going to get too in-depth with this. If you guys want more questions, Pastor Don, I'm sure would gladly meet with you. Bob, any of the elders. I am not thoroughly as educated as Pastor Don. So the four main views are the idealist view, the preterist view, the historicist view, and the futurist view. The idealist view says that it's a spiritual view. Revelation wasn't referring to, it was referring to history throughout the church. It wasn't specific. So the numbers don't really mean nothing. It's more of, you know, it's all relatable and stuff like that. Preterist view was Jesus was speaking to that generation about the end, and it was fulfilled in 70 AD. The historicist view says that people say their life events fit into the end times. So, I mean, you guys, I'm sure you guys have heard people, the end is near, the end is near, look at this, and they try to match everything that happens in their life with that. And people have been doing that throughout all history. And like Pastor Don always says, there's one thing they have in common, they're always wrong. It never matches up. What they say always, you know, yep, that always happens. And then you have the futurist view. The end times refers to the future, meaning it's going to happen sometime in the future. Some people claim it's going to happen soon. Some people say another 1,000 years, but no one really knows with that. All right, so let's take another look at verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So number one, it says that he has his own glory. It doesn't say that that's the Father's glory. It says that he has glory. And it also says that he has a throne, and that's the throne of judgment. Right? So Jesus has a throne of judgment. But if you go out and ask a Muslim, they say that he's just a prophet. He doesn't have glory. He doesn't have judgment. He doesn't have a throne. He's just a prophet. And so the question is who's right? We believe that we are right. And so as we prepare for this outreach, I just want to encourage you guys to truly go out there. Look at these scriptures that you can use to show them, like, look, he's not just a prophet. And I'll show you the evidence to back it up. A couple weeks ago, we were playing on our way to play volleyball with some friends, and I invited my cousin's boyfriend. He's Muslim and not very in-depth with Islam, but he still believes it. And he made a statement to me, and I started laughing. He's like, yeah, you know, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, it's all the same, you know. And I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, you know, and we believe in Jesus, stuff like that. I was like, all right, well, tell me, where are they different if you think they're a little bit different? He's like, well, the only really difference I see, and it's a minor thing, it ain't that big, is we fast, you know, 40 days every year. You guys really just fast whenever you want. I was like, oh, that's the only difference? He's like, yeah, that's the only real difference I see. And I'm like, oh, man, come on, Ash, you should know better than that. Don't be telling me that it's something, you know, like that. I was like, what about this? What about when Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the light? What about when he claims to be God back in Isaiah? What about, and I started telling him all these scriptures about what he's called and stuff like that. And he's like, well, that, you know, if you think that Jesus is God, that's only a minor difference. It's still the same God. I was like, man, come on. That is a huge, who? And I started explaining to him, like, if you believe your God is this, and I believe my God is this, they're two different gods. And he's like, no, it's only who you believe he is. It's only a minor difference. We're still going to go to heaven. You know, you're a good person. And but the whole point is our job as Christians is to tell them who Jesus is. The judgment is fully fixed on who Christ is. So our job is to tell people, look, this is who Jesus is. And if you don't believe that, you're wrong. I mean, I'm just saying it plain. You're wrong. Jesus said this is who he is. So every religion has an idea of who Christ said he is. But the question is who did he really say he is? And that's why we go to the Word of God. It says that the Son of Man comes in his glory, and he will sit on the glorious throne. So this is his throne, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I just wanted to put that plug in for the outreach, that you guys would truly take that step and get involved and tell people of Islam who Christ really is, because that's what's going to change people. When they see that, hey, this God, you know, it says, I forgot what scripture, but it says, God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's something, you know, when I was talking to my cousin, I truly began to tell him, like, he was asking me, what's the purpose of prayer? And I was like, man, the prayer is to draw closer to God, man, to be close to him, have that personal relationship. And he started asking me, what's the purpose of life? Why were we born? Why were we created? And the beautiful thing about Christianity is Jesus said, I created you so that I can know you, so I can have that relationship with you. And so today, about the sheep and the goats, one farmer on a website I was looking up, he said that he realized that if he would show love to the sheep and be extra loving towards them and show better emotion towards them, they never disobeyed him. They never left his side. You got a question?
I just had a comment. You know, a lot of people always ask me why I pray, and I always say, like, well, why do you talk to your father? Why do you talk to your dad? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, because we believe that he's our spiritual father. So if you're going to talk to your father for a relationship, why wouldn't you pray to God? It's the same as talking to him.
Yeah, that's right. All right, verse 32, it says, Jesus only makes a division between the sheep and the goats. There's no denominations, there's no race, there's no gender. It's just righteous and unrighteous. And that's so huge, because you look at so many other people and they try to put divisions, and even Islam, they try to say today that, well, we all believe the same thing, but you look at them now, and there's so many different divisions going on in there, and they're all fighting with one another. But you look at most churches, they actually, you know, I would say are Christians, not cults and stuff like that, who claim to be Christians. But you actually look at Christian churches, and we can have that peace because we know that we don't let those minor differences get in our way, right? It's the relationship with Christ that matters. And I love that. I love that we can be unified. And, you know, that's just a beautiful thing. When sheep are together, they're strong. And when a sheep goes out on its own, that's when they're vulnerable. That's when they get attacked. That's when pretty much they're left to die. That's when the enemy comes. And I looked up the word in the Greek. Sheep actually means something that is walking forward. And that's our job as Christians, to walk forward, keep moving forward, keep pressing on, keep fighting the good fight, keep straying after God, going towards him. You know, Pastor Don and John this year have been preaching on drawing closer to God. And it's not a coincidence that the word sheep means walking forward. We're not called to go back. We're not called to go to our old ways. We're called to keep pressing in, keep going forward towards him. All right, some more facts about sheep. Jesus said, if you are my sheep, you hear my voice. You listen to me. You're obedient. They have like I said earlier, gregarious behavior, which refers to flocking or herding instincts. So it's in our DNA to follow after God. It's in our DNA to be obedient in that, and to get with a group and run after God. We're not made to do it alone. We never created that way. We're made to sharpen one another. That's why the Bible says sharpen one another, right? That's why, you know, we got brothers and sisters like Ed where I can go to and say, let's fight this fight, man. Let's keep going. Let's press it on. Sheep are teachable. They're vulnerable by themselves, but strong in a flock. Sheep follow their shepherd. I had this guy at work, crazy guy. I mean, any of you guys that work in a factory, you know how some of these guys can get with their mouths and vulgar and stuff like that. And this guy's called me every word in the book you can think of, and there's a couple of times I just wanted to hit this guy, and I was just ready. I told Ed one day, like, dude, I just wanted to kill him so bad, you know, I was just ready, you know, and he said one more word to me, I was ready to go off. And this guy told me one day, I thought it was hilarious, I almost, you know, laughed in his face, because he's like, man, you're not blankety-blank teachable. You never listen to anything I ever say. And I'm like, man, there's a reason why I don't listen to you. And he's like, why? Why don't you listen to me? I was like, because, man, all you ever tell me to do is go cheat on my wife, right? Raise your kids like hellions, and you want me to do all that, go get drunk every weekend. And it's like, dude, look, you're wasting your life. And you wonder why I'm not listening to you. Like, and I told him, like, because he tried to tell me, I don't listen to nobody. I don't respect my elders. And I'm like, no, I just don't respect you. And he's like, oh, man, you blankety blank. And I'm like, I'm being honest with you. I was like, you want to respect me? I'll respect you back. But I ain't going to listen to you because you're not my shepherd. Right? I know who my shepherd is. My shepherd's Pastor Don, Pastor John. Right? Jesus. A cool thing is when you know who your shepherds are, we know where Pastor John and Don are leading us. Right? They're leading us to holiness, to righteousness, pursuing God, intimate relationship, expanding our region, taking dominion. That's where we're going. That's where they're taking us. And it's so easy. You watch some of these shows on, you know, TV, and all they want to do is get you to follow after money. They want you to get you to follow after a better car, a better house. God's going to prosper you. And it's like, dude, that is no fulfillment at all. Yeah, God will prosper you. But that's not going to satisfy you. What's going to satisfy you is God, right? That's the thing that will keep you going on, is Jesus. All right, goats. They are impulsive, unpredictable, devious, and contrary. They are never content with what they have. Fences that hold sheep, cattle, and even horses won't hold goats. And I grew up on a farm, and I can testify that is very, very true. You get a goat, man, and they will try everything they can to kick that fence down, to destroy it, because they want out. They want to do what they want to do. And actually, growing up, we actually had a pet sheep. His name was Buddy. And I'm telling you, it was the best sheep in the world. You ask my sister's man, and he was pretty cool. Actually, I went with my mom to pick him up. He was only about this big, and I was just holding him and stuff. And he ended up getting pretty big. And I remember we keep him in, like, the horse pen, and it was, like, pretty big. It was probably, like, 4 acres of a pen. And every day after school, he'd be waiting at the fence, and we'd let him out and pet him, and he'd run around with us, almost like a dog. But he'd follow us everywhere we went. We went down to the lake. It was, like, a mile from our house, so we'd ride our bikes there as a family. We wouldn't have to put him on a leash or nothing. He'd follow right behind us on the bikes. He'd go swimming with us and everything. And what was funny is we actually ended up training him almost like a horse, too. We'd come out and, how the barn fence was set up is there's a little gate right here and then here, a fence around it. And that's where they used to put cattle in to stamp them and stuff like that. So we'd put the sheep inside there, and we'd get out and we act like we're, you know, trying to get bucked off, like see who can hold on the longest. And this sheep, man, I'm surprised its back didn't break because we're getting on like 150 pounds and the sheep's like, yeah. But the sheep was awesome. But then one day, I remember, and he actually ended up turning mean. You know, the cops would pull up to the house, and he'd be out, and he'd just come and bam into the side of the car and try to, you know, not let the cop out. And the cop's like, hey, you need to put this thing away. We're like, no, it's our protection. We don't have a dog. We have a sheep. That's what we do. And one day we came home from school, and my mom goes, hey, you know, we got food on the table. We're like, oh, what is it? She's like, lamb chops. I'm like, yes, lamb chops. We start eating, and we're like, oh, you know, what about Buddy? We didn't feed him today. We should go give him some food. She's like, guys, you're looking at Betty. You're looking at Buddy. I'm like, no! Man. Don't tell him. I still ate it. I did. I'm not going to lie. Hey, you guys know me. I love food, man. I can't. If food's on the table, I got to eat it. But I tell you what, though, my sister still to this day, my baby sister Dooney, she started crying. She hated my parents for like a week. And she still to this day won't eat lamb because of that. I'm like, sis, you're missing out. This is good stuff. But she won't eat it today. You know what? What I used to do, sometimes she'd be sleeping because our rooms were like real close together. So she'd be sleeping and I'd come to the hall and be like, man, she'd wake up crying and stuff like that. So, hey, sorry, but I had to mess with her. She's my baby sister. All right, so goats. All right, so the fences that hold the sheep and cattle won't hold the goats. They're not good followers. They lack the gregarious behavior. And, you know, I was looking at that like, man, look at the church. Look at how many people have come in, and all they try to do, their sole intent is to lead people away from what the shepherds are trying to tell us. They come in and instantly try to create division. Instant, you can almost pick it up within 5-10 minutes of talking to the dude.
Goats don't get along with each other even, let alone anybody else.
And they have a huge problem with submitting to authority. They will not listen. They prefer leading or going off on their own. And I got a question. Has anybody ever heard of a Judas goat? Because I saw this and I was amazed when I saw it. Anybody? No one's ever heard of it? All right, I'll tell you what it means. A Judas goat was a goat that a shepherd bought to lead sheep to the slaughter. So its sole intent was to lead sheep to be killed. And some Judas goats would even do it 4 or 5 times a day. And I thought of that like, man, we truly, you got to be careful who you allow to lead you, because people can totally just lead you right to disaster, right to destruction, right to the slaughter. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that we have pastors and elders and deacons that truly lead us in the right way to make sure we're not going off on those tangents and to make sure we're going back in. You know, Pastor Don, he used to tell me all the time, he's like, you're like a stinking bull. You always just run into everything. I was like, all right, you know. And so it taught me like, hey, I need to slow down. I need to take a step back. And still not quite there yet. I'm still working and trying to, you know, get to that point. But it helps when you know that your leaders are leading you in the right way, that they have your best interests in mind. You know, when they pull you aside to direct you and counsel you, they're not trying to attack you. They're trying to get you closer to God. That's their sole purpose, right? All right. The major difference between sheep and goats, it's pretty obvious, is obedience and disobedience. You got, as you know, God said, if you love me, you will follow me. The sheep follow me, whereas goats, they do not do it. All right, being practical, verse 34 through 30. Let me look it up real fast, or 40. All right, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and you give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I titled that, Being Practical. Sometimes we don't see Christ in situations, but we see one of our brothers and sisters. And we have an opportunity to help. And sometimes they're not even saved. They might not be Christians, but we still have an opportunity to help. We still have an opportunity to pull them in. You know, Ed's sister-in-law, or I think it was your sister, she had asked Jenny to ask me if I would come help. And they were moving, and they didn't have a lot of manpower, and I didn't have to think about it at all. I'm like, no, I'm going to go help, because I know that he's trying to sow seeds into their life, and what a better way to go and serve them and help. I'm not doing it for money. I'm not doing it for nothing. I truly just want to see them saved. And the only way to do that, I mean, obviously God can, you know, come down and truly have that Paul experience, but we have to be practical as well. You know, we can't expect someone to listen to us about God and how great he is, but then when they need help, we're not there to help. We're not there to assist. Like that old saying, people don't care what you know till they know what you care, right? We got to build those relationships. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord, Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I have down, it's easy to say a prayer for somebody, but God forbid you put gas in their gas tank. You know, Ed and Jenny, when I got the job at Chrysler, well, actually right before that, Candace, they got kicked out of her house. There was a whole big scheme and stuff that was going on and drama, and so she left her house. And so Ed and Jenny, without even hesitating, were like, hey, come move in with us. And she had a place to stay. And I remember Candace would just start crying, like, why? This ain't, Like, who am I? Who, I don't deserve this, but that's God's love. They took that opportunity to say, look, we want you here. We see that when you're in our house, you don't struggle with anxiety. You don't struggle with fear. And that's the Spirit of God living inside that place. So we all have those opportunities. And they even opened up their home for me when I got the job at Chrysler, because I had to drive. I was working midnights, so I would have had to drive 45 minutes home. And anybody that's drove with me at night knows I fall asleep like that. Like, I get tired fast. So that was a drive that I couldn't do. It was just, you know, after working 12 hours every night, you know, you're only getting 8 hours, maybe 6 hours of sleep a night. I had to stay somewhere close. So he opened up his home, you know, and that was such a huge blessing, something I'll never be able to repay. But all it was obedience on his part. He said, look, I know this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it. And that advanced his kingdom. That put me in a position to be prosperous in this area, to advance God's kingdom. You know, I mean, think of what would have happened if I would have, you know, fell asleep at the wheel and got a car accident. I wouldn't be advancing the kingdom of God at Chrysler. But because of obedience on his part, it put me in a situation to be prosperous at work. I think of Elma. She opened up her home to me as well after college. She said, hey, come, you know, come live with us. And, you know, that set up so much to where when I was at school, I had like a 3-hour break. I was going to school 2 days a week. And I had a 3-hour break in between class, and I came up to the church every single Tuesday and Thursday and just sat with PD and talked. And anybody that sits with PD knows, like, that dude's got, like, so much knowledge, it's crazy. Like, I was just telling him the other day, like, man, I wish I could just take your knowledge and just put it in my head, because you just got so much, man. And he's like, nah, no, you don't. You don't wish that, you know, I don't wish that upon anybody. But you think about Pastor Don, how he's always able to meet with people. Steve always giving you that call to push you ahead. Always trying to encourage you, saying, don't give up. You know, you think of what he's had to go through and how he's like, his truly heart is, I don't want people struggling in that area. You know, I want people to be free from that. And, you know, that's such humility to look at your life and say, I messed up big time. And now I got to show people my mistakes so that they don't fall. You know, you think of that, and that's like, that's what the kingdom is all about. Helping one another through your past failures. You know, I had guys at work tell me, man, I don't listen to nobody. I'd rather fall myself than, you know, listen to somebody else. I'm like, then you're stupid. Straight up, you're stupid, because I want to learn from somebody else's mistakes so I don't make the same one. I want to be better than what somebody else was. I think of Brian, always pushing for prayer. Anytime you're like, dude, hey, could you just, you know, you've got anybody that knows this? He's like, I don't know, but let's pray. Let's just pray. God knows the answer, not me. And he's always pushing that. And that's advanced. That's getting me out of my, you know, carnal nature to say, look, I need to go to prayer first. I need to always push for that. Kenny, he's not here, but I'm going to give him some praise for this. He came when I bought my house. He came and, you know, I asked him if he could do the house inspection. And I didn't know how much they cost. Like, the people I was going through said it cost like $350 to get one of their guys to do it. I'm like, dang, that's a lot of money, you know. And I got a wedding and all this stuff to pay for. And, you know, I was like, Ed told me, like, Kenny did it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give him a call, see if he can help me out. So he's like, yeah, I'll come do it. And I'm like, afterwards, it was all done. And my dad was there, and he was just blown away that, you know, Kenny was there and he knew everything, you know, checking everything on the house. And I'm like, all right, you know, Kenny, how much do I owe you? He's like, you don't owe me anything. I was like, what? Like, you just spent 2 hours, 3 hours working on my house, making sure everything's up to date, everything's good to go, and you're not even going to let me pay you. He's like, no, that's what church family's for. And you could see the look on my dad's face. You remember my dad's look? He was just like, what the heck? What is this guy doing? Like, he doesn't even know my son. Why are you, you know, helping him out like that? But that's what kingdom's about. You know, look at my dad's face. He can't deny how our church is. Our church is, I mean, our church is one of the best churches I've ever been a part of. Just seeing how humble we are, how much servants, you know, we try to help one another out. And that's what kingdom advancement is. Being there for your brothers and sisters, helping them in their weaknesses, helping them to get stronger, putting them in the right situation to advance, for them to grow, right? Another key point is, are we making ourselves available to one another? The more we draw closer to God, the more His love compels us to help our struggling brothers and sisters. So you guys might say, well, man, I don't remember the last time I stepped out and was there for somebody. I don't remember the last time someone called me and I looked at it like, oh man, Steve's calling me. I know he's going to ask me to come help. Nah, I'm just going to decline. Here, I could listen to the voicemail. I'll call him back later. You know, or are you saying, oh, he probably needs something. Hey, what's up? Let me help you out. What can I do? You know, and the more you want that, you want to be that servant, draw closer to God. That's drawing closer to God is the answer to everything. It truly is. You want to be that servant that God has called you to be, draw closer to God. You want to help somebody out in their need, draw closer to God. That's the biggest requirement right there. Verses 41 through 46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The reason for their condemnation is that they are guilty of sins of omission. That is, they refuse to show compassion to the least of these, which is the same thing as to not care for Christ himself. And that hit me so huge, like, man, I don't ever want to be in a situation to where I'm not caring for those in need. You know, it's one thing, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about, you know, seeing a homeless person on the street or a drug addict, something like that. But to see one of your brothers come up and struggling and not to make yourself available, you know, spiritually, physically, whatever it may be. You know, someone might be, you know, one of my wife's friends. She came over and she was just struggling. She's in a bad family situation. And my answer was for her to move in with us. I told her, look, you can get that help. You need to get out of the situation you're in. And she kept saying, no, I need to stay here. And I'm like, why are you trying to put yourself through hell? You're putting yourself in a situation that is not advancing the kingdom. You're trying to persuade your family to run after Christ, but they're not listening. They're not listening. So why stay there? And she still chooses to stay in that situation. And we all have opportunities around people around us. Maybe it's at your work. You know, I believe you were the one who helped Miguel, got him the job interview, right? That blessed Miguel like crazy. Why? Because she chose to take time to say, look, I want to help you. I'm available. You with Shane, saying, Shane, hey, here you go. I've seen your work ethic. I know what you're capable of. I want to make a commitment to you. Come and work. I'm available. We all have opportunities to advance God's kingdom. Take dominion of what God has put in front of us, and let's reach the lost. And I truly believe every one of us have a calling, right, to reach the lost, to truly go out and advance. Your gift might not be evangelism. Some of it is, but it might be acts of service. Might have a heart of worship where that just gets people in. You might have such humility and housekeeping abilities where the moment someone walks in your house, they feel the love of God. And that's what God wants from each one of us, making ourselves available. So this outreach coming up for the Muslims around here is in Melvindale. And where's our church at? Melvindale. Right. So we can either get out, step out, take dominion of what God has given us, or we can allow the goats to come in and take over. And when goats come in, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen pasture of goats, they tear everything up. Whereas you look at sheep, they just go on the grass because they know, they understand that if you eat too deep, it'll kill everything. So they eat what God has given them, and they leave it at that. They're satisfied. They're content with what God has given us. All right. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. This has always been one of my, that's why I give it. I was going to do this one, but Sammy, I decided to give it to Sammy because he works harder than I do at it. But this was always one of my favorite. I think it kind of answers the age-old question everybody talks about, which is more important, faith or works? What good is one without the other? And I think this is showing that we all know works won't get us to heaven. But I think he's shown us without a doubt in this passage that faith alone won't get us there. You know, you can have all the faith in the world, but where's your works? You get saved at 19 and don't care, don't do anything the rest of your life. Is that a true Christian? They work hand in hand. We need faith and you need works. Works without faith are no good. Faith without works is no good. They run hand in hand, like Sammy said. Good job, Sammy. Give him a hand. Who would you like to close?
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this message that Sammy prepared. Lord, we thank you for just the in-depth that he went with it, Lord God, and we truly appreciate that. And Lord, we just ask that we would go downstairs prepared, our hearts prepared to worship you, Lord God, to go into your presence and to focus solely on you, entering into the Holy of Holies. And Lord, we just thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.